Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel 16. I'm not going to keep you long here tonight. I know we all have church service in the morning, and I'm looking forward to that. Appreciate so much being here. Looking forward to eating me some good food after service. And got some prepared for us tomorrow as well. I just believe in Louisiana food. There's just something biblical about it. I'm trying to figure it out, but there's something maybe in the Message version or something somewhere. NIV, hallelujah. And the marriage supper of the Lamb when they gave the crawfish and beignets. I don't know. Something there. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 4. Thank you to the worship team. If you have it, say amen. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, that's pretty sad when everybody has to do the walk of shame. They're like, "Oh, I'm anointed. No, it's not you." I just feel bad for those guys. Amen. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons come pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I want to talk to you on this subject tonight. Just really want to talk to you on the call of God. The call of God. Why don't you lay your Bibles down? Why don't we close our eyes and lift up our hands and let's ask the Lord to just have his way. Lord, I ask you to help us to recognize your call. Baptize us, Lord. Do what only you can do. Minister. Transform. Work. Move in this place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Where does the call of God originate? Where does the call of God come from? The Bible says that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain at the foundation of the world. the call and the promise of God does not start in time. My Lord, I'm in trouble already here tonight. The call of God, the promise of God, does not originate in time. See, you think when you came to church that that was the first time God heard of you, but God had his hand on you before you ever even got here. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Is that what the scripture says? And I ordained you. And watch this, I sanctified you before you ever even came out of the womb. Now that's scary. For God's hand to be beyond time, but to start in eternity. And what we have to understand about eternity is that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, there were callings, there were giftings, there were prophecies, there were promises in God before Adam was ever created. Before time or the earth was ever created, God had already had things sealed in himself before Adam and Eve ever existed. Are you hearing me right now? Now, if my promise and my calling and my destiny began before time, that means that it is impossible for time to nullify or stop your calling. It is impossible for time or even the devil to stop your destiny, because it was sealed in God before Satan was created and before time was created. Somebody say, wow, that's amazing. And so since Satan cannot destroy your call, since he cannot destroy your destiny, since he cannot destroy your promise, what he'll do is he'll try to attack you. Because your destiny is in God. If he tries to attack your destiny, he'd be trying to attack God. And we know he can't do that. If he tried to attack your promise, he'd be trying to attack God, and we can't do that. So he'll attack the holder of the call. He'll attack the holder of the destiny, the holder of the promise, to get you to willingly abort it. Are you hearing me right now? If God ever spoke to you and put something over your life, it is sealed. He is speaking to you about it, not because you're perfect, but because it was already in him before you ever even came to be. That's why the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us in our best state. See, many of us think we have to earn a call. We think that if we do step one, step two, step three, then God will call me. But the call was before you ever even prayed. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even have saved you if he did not already have in your salvation your future destiny. Am I getting too deep right now? He said, what did he tell Israel? He said, I brought you out that I might bring you in. In other words, I would not brought you out of Egypt if I did not intend for you to possess the promised land. In other words, he'd have let you die in your sin if he did not have anywhere to take you to. But the very fact that you are out of sin and out of Egypt is the very affirmation you need to understand that every promise and every word that he has spoken to you, he intends to bring it to pass. So where does the call originate? The call originates in God, and that is the safest place for a call to be, in God. And so no matter what someone does, if it is not in God, if it is not the foundation in God, no matter what, you cannot earn the call of God. You cannot earn destiny. You can't You can't pray enough to have destiny. Are you hearing me right now? There are things that are foreordained. God asked me the question. He said, Victor, what did Mary do to earn the virgin birth? Anybody can answer that question? What did Mary do to earn having God Almighty being in her womb and her be the only person in the world to produce the Messiah? What did she do to earn that? What was her prayer time look like? What time you pray, Mary? Is it 5 a.m. every morning? How do I get a destiny like that? Are you hearing me right now? What did her worship look like? If I can just do what Mary's doing, maybe I can do something great. But God said, no, you don't understand. Mary could not pray to get a destiny. She could not fast to get a destiny. It was already sealed before time ever began. She could not earn what I wanted to do through her. But as a byproduct of her purpose, come on somebody, that is what enabled her to pray. That is what enabled her to fast, because she was persuaded of her purpose and her destiny. Amen. It was through her destiny and her purpose that she was persuaded to have different disciplines and things like that. You've got to know, you've got to get so persuaded of your call, so persuaded of destiny, so persuaded of your purpose and of your promise that it changes how you see yourself. Because I think about the text that I read to you. The Bible says that Samuel called Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice. Watch this. And the Bible says that Samuel sanctified Jesse and his sons. He sanctifies Jesse and his sons for the sacrifice. And so these are sanctified folk. they're sanctified. They have been somehow set apart unto this occasion, yet there's one son that does not get the opportunity to be sanctified, and that's David. David's nowhere to be found. David's back keeping sheep. While his brothers are being sanctified, he's keeping sheep. So there's one person that's not even qualified to get anointed. And that is the person that's anointed. Are you hearing me right now? There's one person. Everybody else is sanctified. They got the church ritual down. They got the church prayer time down. They got the worship down. They got the amen at the right time. Oh, don't clap too soon. Oh, they're sanctified folk. But somebody comes in and they're just a little rugged. They got a little rough around the edges. They don't know much about Pentecost just yet. And God, and we say, oh, they can't be anointed. But God says, you know what? That's exactly the person that I'm looking for, that still has weaknesses, that still has ailments, and I'm going to place my anointing on that person. Amen. Amen. The very person that was unqualified is the very person that God chose to qualify. The very person that everyone looked around and said, hold on, number one, he is rejected. Number two, he's not sanctified yet. God says, that's the one that I'm going to choose among you, that's going to change the world and be a type and shadow of things to come. That man, that rugged boy, David. Now, watch this, folks. David, he's keeping sheep. He's rejected. He's looked down upon. Yet God calls him in the midst of all of his weaknesses. You think that God never saw his weaknesses? When God puts a call on your life, he's not waiting for you to get all your weaknesses done. You know, once I work on this, God, then I'll respond to the call. That's not how it works. David was messed up from the beginning. But yet God put his call on him, watch this, and through the call will sanctify you. The call will say, look, when I got a call from God, look, folks, I was messed up. I'm probably still messed up a little bit, but I was even more messed up whenever God called me. I'm raised in a divorced home, had a stepdad that used to beat me. I just messed up all in the mind. And God's like, I'm calling you to the ministry. I'm like, really? Really? I mean, there's other people, watch this, that are more sanctified. I'm not really sanctified. I'm just dysfunctional. But what's amazing is what the call of God does on a person's life is that you're on the mountain, at the base of the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain. The call is at the peak. Watch this. And so God calls you and says, come up on this journey up the mountain. So you start your journey with all of this luggage, with all of this baggage, with all of this stuff. And as you start going towards your call with all this baggage, all of a sudden you reach certain parts on the mountain and says, if I'm going to go any higher, I'm going to have to let off a little bit of this baggage. So you let off a little bit of baggage. You ascend some more toward the call. And you notice, hold on, I can't really reach it. I can't really make it there if I don't get off a little bit more baggage. And you get up more baggage. And you keep on going. And you're almost to the call, but you still got some bags. You're like, you know what? I can't really go higher unless I don't get rid of this baggage. Watch this. So the call sanctified me to let go of everything that could hinder me from fulfilling the call. But if I never have a call, I have no desire to give up my baggage. Amen. So you may have baggage in your life, but you've got to get so persuaded of the call that it begins to sanctify you and makes you change the way you talk, make it change the way you walk, make it change the way you, where you hang out, who you hang with. Come on, somebody. And when the call of God comes, it will persuade you into sanctification and into holiness. So David's chosen. The one that's unqualified, the one that's not sanctified, he's the one that is chosen. And the very circumstances around which he's chosen is interesting, because the Bible says that Saul had sinned against God. And so God said, Saul, I'm rejecting you. And I found a man after my own heart. Now, that's interesting. He said, I found someone better than you. I found the man after my own heart. This is interesting because Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and watch this. He doesn't find a man. He finds a boy. But there was a man in the boy. So God had to raise up a giant to get the man out of the boy. Callings much times are birthed out of adversity. Sometimes God will raise up some giants to finally get the calling and the destiny out of you, where you're not comfortable anymore. Come on. Where you're not comfortable going through the motions anymore. You know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm ready to be everything God wants me to be. Amen. Sometimes when you refuse to pursue your call, God will start raising up a little hell in your family. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. He'll raise up a little hell in your family to finally get you on your knees and pray, because many times we like to put our calling on the shelf and do our thing. Come on now. Until you're ready to do your call. God has a way of speeding you into your call. Adversity is acceleration of your call. He'll say, you know what? You don't want to do it, right? Well, I'll raise up some hell to make you do it. And since you won't pray voluntarily, I'll raise up some hell to make you pray involuntarily. Since you won't fast voluntarily, I'll raise up enough hell in your life to make you fast involuntarily. I'll put you through enough hell, come on somebody, where we don't have to beg you to go after your call anymore. But you say, you know what? This is what God has created me for, and I'm going to be everything God's called me to be. Oh, somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Brother Jackson, well, what about free will? You have a free will, but God has a way of raising up circumstances to let your free will work for his will. Jonah said, Lord, I'm not going. Free will. God's like, that's cute. Well, go swallow that, man. For 3 days. And I'm going to hold my ear to the belly until I hear him cry out and say he's going to do my will. God has a way of putting you in a holding pattern until you do what you are created to do. Where he will stop everything. You're pursuing education. God will just stop that education. He'll raise up enough hell where you don't pursue your education anymore. And you pursue him instead. Y'all don't like that, huh? But I'm in a nursing program. I got to get it done. I'll put a halt to it. Until you start helping people in your community, in your school. Come on, somebody. Until you start operating in my destiny. Amen. Amen. I will raise up whatever I've got to raise up to get you to function in your call. Because your call is bigger than you think it is. Your destiny is bigger than you think it is. And there are people that are relying on you to obey what God has birthed into your spirit. And if you don't obey it, they'll never see God. The Bible says that David killed the giant. And after he killed the giant, they begin to sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Hold on 1 second. David only killed one person. But the Bible says that he slayed 10,000. If you only knew how many victories your giant was connected to. He slew one giant and he got immediately 10,000 victories. You're not hearing me. Whatever giant that you're up against right now, it's going to pave the way for the next generation. It's going to pave the way for your school. It's going to pave the way for your family. You've got to keep on pursuing because there are souls that are tied. There are souls that are tied to your destiny. Now, I know what happens is when you start believing in the call, immediately, you know, almost all hell breaks loose. That ever happened to anybody before? That happened to me. Amen. As soon as God called me to the ministry, and I was like, "All right, Lord, I believe it. I accept it." And it was like I was waiting for like heaven, you know, to open up on me, you know. Like, oh, the call of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? It was like demons everywhere. Like, you know, like shadows and dark clouds. And I'm like, whoa, hold on now, you know. The call looked a little prettier, you know, with angels around me, you know. Angels carried me to the pulpit, you know. It's like, there's Victor. But literally, it was demons, hallelujah, that were just kind of trying to drag me away from my destiny. That was the worst thing. As soon as I accepted my call, I immediately started fighting all types of hell, started fighting all types of loneliness, started fighting all types of things, man. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I remember they were celebrating my birthday. By the way, I turned 28 tomorrow. My birthday's tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see some wrinkles kind of. I'm feeling the wrinkle, like overnight. I feel if I look older tomorrow, that's just, you know, I feel the wrinkles coming. They're starting slow. If I got a bald head tomorrow, just know. Just don't judge me. Just say he's 28 now. He's 28. But I remember they were celebrating my birthday right after I had accepted my call a few months, and they were celebrating my birthday, and they're all just like, "Yeah, Vic, it's your birthday, yeah." And man, I never felt so lonely in my life. Like everybody's all eating cake and everything, and I'm just like, "Yeah, man, it's my birthday, yeah." I was like depressed, amen. I was like depressed, like. Because when you get a call, and you got these frustrations in you that things aren't happening in your time, and nothing's going your way, and it's not envisioned like going as you envisioned, and I'm going through all that, and I remember I was so sad and depressed about it that while this birthday party is going on, I found the room, closed the room door. They're all out in the living room having a blast. And I literally got on my knees and was just speaking in tongues, crying out to God, just saying, "God, why did you call me? I'm so frustrated. I'm so depressed. I'm going through so much." And God has a way of using these things to push you towards him. Do you think Abraham was frustrated whenever he didn't have his promised son? You got to think about this with me. Abraham, he has this call from God, and he's like, "You're going to be a father to many nations." And he doesn't even have a kid yet. And he says, God tells him to leave all of his family and go and walk with him, and he's going to make him a great nation. But guess what? Abraham doesn't leave all of his family. You know who he leaves with? He leaves with Lot. Lot's his nephew. That's family. He's not supposed to take his nephew with him. God says, leave everything behind. Leave all your family behind. He doesn't. He takes Lot. Lot is not in your family. But look what happens. Lot was his nephew, and he, watch this, folks, he didn't have a son. He's 75 years old. But he began to treat Lot like it was his son. And what happens is when you have a call and you get lonely, you start having all these crutches in your destiny. Like, I want to be called, but I got to take my friend with me because we've been through so much together. I got to get in this relationship, you know. Don't leave me now. I love you. I really love you. He has these crutches on the road to his destiny. He treated Lot like he was his son. He lived as a father to Lot. And so Lot, yeah, God's going to give me my own son, but hey, just in case it doesn't happen, I got Lot with me. Until finally God brought friction between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. Because you know what God said? You will never learn the desperation of not having a son until you let go of the crutches that you've created. Because he was okay if he didn't have a son, because Lot was there. So God had to raise up some friction to cause Lot and Abraham to separate so he can get a desperation again of what it felt like to not have the call come to fruition. Many of you have calls, but you have comfortable people and comfortable things around you where you are okay if it doesn't happen. So God says, you know what I'll do? I'll create some friction. But in that friendship, I'll create some friction in that relationship to show you, come on somebody, that you still have a destiny, and you cannot live your destiny through another person and their successes. Come on somebody. And so what happens is when there's friction with somebody you love, you keep trying to find a way to make it work out. Am I right? I didn't mean that text, you know. You know, I was just, that post wasn't about you on Instagram. What? I was just talking. That's what we do. We got the passive-aggressive generation where it's like, oh, no, No, I'm not mad. And then you put a post. You know, some people be hating. And he asked, hold on, you was talking about me. No, man, no. Feel guilty? Come on, somebody. Keep trying to work it out. Keep trying to work it out. It's not working. If y'all broke up 5 times, look, give it up. It's not meant to be. You guys in a relationship? Yeah, we've been on and off for about 3 months. How many times y'all broke up in 3 months? You know, like 4 or 5 times. But we good now. Stop. Drop it. And roll on. But the call of God will sanctify you, and nothing else will do. Living through another person's success, living through any other thing, nothing will do. There has to be a desperation for God. The Bible says that after Adam fell, that Adam and Eve fell, that they had a son named Seth. Cain, he gets exiled, and Abel, he gets killed by Cain. But then they have a son named Seth, and Seth has a son named Enos. And the Bible says after Enos was born, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. People, there was so much tragedy that had happened after the fall, that after Enos was born, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, that is a positive statement, and that is a negative statement. Number one, it is a positive statement because after everything had gone downhill, there were a people that decided to still call on the name of the Lord. Relationship was being cultivated. They called out. They cried out to God. They had a need for God. Desperation was birthed out of that, but it was a negative also because call, it literally means the call to call out to God, it literally means that God is distant from you. And at that time, there was no distance between God and man until after the fall. You never heard of Adam calling God. Why? Because God was right there. But after the fall, then man had to call out. Which after the fall, that's when the emotion, desperation was created. Are you hearing me right now? Desperation for God's presence. Amen. You've got to get desperate for the things of God. You've got to get desperate, and any crutches that are taking you away from being desperate, you've got to give those crutches up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to get back desperate. If I'm going to be lonely, at least there's desperation coming out of my loneliness for the presence of the Lord. Amen. Everybody clap your hands unto the Lord. The only thing that will keep you in the call, whenever you're called, the only thing will keep you is seeing that call materialize. That's what will help you overcome adversity. If you are not persuaded of the call or do not believe the call is going to come to pass, when you go through adversity, you'll always go back to Egypt. You'll always go back to what you used to do. If you're not persuaded of the promised land, when something gets messed up, you'll just go back to what you used to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But whenever you're persuaded, you're saying, you know what, I can't go back. I'm going to endure whatever I've got to endure to get where I have never gotten. And that is what will sustain you, getting persuaded of the call of God and that you cannot earn it. I don't care how many mistakes that you've made. God, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God still has a destiny for you that he refuses to give up. He just doesn't want you to give it up. Satan can't take it away. Your circumstances can't take it away. But you've got to hold on and believe that it's going to happen. Everybody clap your hands to the Lord. And everybody stand with me. Everybody stand with me. Did this help somebody? Just wanted to talk to you tonight. If God has ever called you, if God's ever spoken to you at a youth camp, at a youth convention, at a camp meeting, and God's put something in your heart and a service on a Sunday and a youth service, God still desires to fulfill that. He just wants you to get persuaded of it and start working toward it and keep going after it. And when you start seeing your destiny, you won't settle for less. Amen. Some people, they get into relationships just because they're lonely. You know, they text people just because they're lonely. Like, there's people, I think people have a name in their phone that just says, "When I'm lonely." Just pull them up. When you're lonely, just send them a text, smiley face. No, we're never going to be like get married or anything, but you're just there for me whenever I need you. You got people in your life like that. They just reach out to you when you're lonely. But that loneliness is a sign of God drawing you into his presence, saying, "I want to feel that loneliness. I want to feel that void because I got a destiny and I still have that calling and that destiny that I gave you a while ago." Why don't we just lift up our hands and close our eyes and ask God to baptize you with the fresh vision of your call. God, baptize these young people, Helamo Shatada, with a fresh vision of destiny, with a fresh vision of anointing. Let them know that you intend to bring it to pass. Let them know that you intend to do something deep, no matter what their failures are, no matter what their frailties may be. Let them know that there's still a destiny, God, that you still want to do something deep in them. Oh, Lord, let them know, God, they may not have it all together right now, but, Lord, that your call will sanctify them, Lord, where they know that you are the refuge, that you are the place where they can trust and that they can go to. You are the lily in the valley. You are the rose of Sharon. You are the tower that the righteous are safe running into, God. Olobo hosha tarala la ba nelela.